You may proceed.
May it please the court. We're here today, and I'm representing Courtney George, who was a relator in a mandamus action. And there are several people involved, and that's basically the county commission, the county clerk, and the county treasurer for Phelps County. And I'm just going to refer to them as Phelps County, if that's permissible with the court.
It is.
The issue that we're here on today is regarding the salary of full-time prosecutors. And in this particular case, the salary, section 56265.1, ties the salary of full-time prosecutors to the salary. It says it will be the same compensation of that as associate circuit judges. In this case, Courtney George was the full-time prosecutor of Phelps County. She was elected on November 7th, 2006, to serve a term beginning January 1st of 2007 and ending on December 31st of 2011. At the time of her election, the salary was $96,000. And I think, as far as I know, that was the salary of the associate circuit judges. Under the Article 13, Section 3 of the Constitution, the Missouri Citizens Commission for Compensation of Elected Officials determines the salary for associate circuit judges, and they filed a report on December 1st, I think, of 2006, basically increasing the salary of associate circuit judges, and it's in the brief, and I haven't memorized what it was, but it increased it by several thousand dollars beginning July 1st of 2007, and then it increased it again beginning July 1st of 2008.
And that was in that same 2006 report that
yes,
it provided
it
for both those changes?
Yes, it was.
So as part of your argument, not just that the formula set for determining salary was already set prior to the start of her term, but the actual amounts she would make starting on different dates were already in existence and set before her first day in office?
I believe they were, yes, because the report was filed on December 1st of 2006. And actually, that brings up a point I was going to make later, but I think it's a very good point. In the judgment entry, on page 3 of the judgment entry, which is included in the appendix of my brief at A3, the trial courts distinguish Moss, which we'll talk about in just a minute, and says because relator was elected on November 7, 2006, and the Missouri Citizens Commission on Compensation for Elected Officials report setting associate circuit judge pay was filed on December 1st of 2006, the formula for the salary was not in place as it was in Moss. And that's how they distinguish Moss.
So the trial court used the date of the election, not the date she took office.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And of course, the reason for that is because Moss talked about election. If you read and analyze Moss in depth, which is kind of hard because it's one of those real old cases, it's hard for me to follow sometimes, but Moss talked about before electing, before election.
What does the Constitution talk about, though?
Well, the Constitution says during the term of office. So it doesn't distinguish between elections. And of course, to be quite honest with you, I think that's it's kind of a distinction. And I don't know what word to use, but I mean, theoretically, I guess the problem can be resolved if everybody would put pressure on the Citizens Commission to file a report every year before the election date, if we would follow the judge's rationale. And I
do
myself...
Do you have any suggestion how to make that work?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you have any suggestion how to make that work?
I think they're not allowed to meet till November, so that would give them a narrow window.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't have any suggestion how to make that work, no. But I mean, theoretically, if they would file it before the election date under the judge's rationale that
of course,
he said,
the election date doesn't often mean you take office then.
That's
you
right.
You take office, generally, at the beginning of the year. You don't take office the day you're elected.
You're saying that Moss's use of after the election wasn't based on the Constitution, since there the difference between election day and office day didn't matter. They used the term loosely?
Well, yeah, I think they did. I think they did, because in that particular instance, the election was actually 2 years. If I remember Moss correctly, it was tied to the presidential election, and it was in a midterm election, and the number of people that voted in that election increased the circuit clerk's salary. And so I think they were using the term election loosely, whereas you are absolutely correct that the actual constitutional provision, Article 7, Section 13, says it shall not be increased during the term of office. The term didn't begin until January 1st.
Opposing counsel says that you really have to look at the dollars paid, and the dollars paid changed during office twice under your interpretation, and that violates the constitutional provision that says there shall not be an increase. What is your response to that?
Well, my response to that is actually the Laclede County case and Moss. In Laclede County, the Laclede County case that's cited in the briefs, in that instance, they actually held against the increase, but it's distinguishable because it was a case involving the term of office began in 1996, the legislation was passed in 1997 and permitted an increase for those people elected in 1996. Definitely a totally different situation. But Laclede County says that there is no, if I can quote it here, it basically said that despite its plain language, the constitutional prohibition against midterm increases in compensation are not absolute. And then they cited several cases. And one of the cases is, in fact, that the Moss case, which we've been discussing. And in Moss, basically, the court held that as long as the formula or scheme or whatever you want to call it is in place prior to, and Moss did say election, which I think they were using loosely, if it was in place prior to the election, then the midterm increase was permitted.
Can you address the policy reasons why the Constitution has this provision prohibiting an increase in compensation during the term, and how they would be affected were we to accept your arguments, or would they be affected?
Well, I think the policy is, yes, we don't want people going in, and I really think it was probably a policy more geared to legislative bodies because they're the ones that control their own salary. The policy would be is, hey, you know, I'm elected and now I'm going to vote to increase my compensation midterm. You know,
or use my influence to do that.
Yeah, use an influence. Really a kind of a conflict of interest, voting on your own pay increase. And so that would be my thought as to what the public policy would be.
Are there other prosecutors in the same position as your client here?
Well, now this is outside the record, but it's my understanding that there's 63 full-time prosecutors. It's my understanding that all but four, their counties, gave them the increase. And I actually filed this mandamus action on behalf of three of them. Two of them we settled. This one we did not. And then the fourth one was Hugh Jenkins in Bates County, and he was running again and didn't want to raise the issue. So now that's outside the record,
well,
and that's just my understanding.
Sorry to make you go there. Are there other positions in government that are tied to judicial salaries? And would they be affected by your argument?
Your Honor, I'm not sure. I'll be quite honest with you.
Workers' comp judges are 80%.
I'm sorry, what?
Workers' comp judges are 80% of associate circuit judges.
I just kind of focused on this, and I didn't look at other positions. I'm sorry,
Somewhat presumed that that these bodies, including the legislators, would know what the law is, and that they knew by allowing the increase of judges that they were allowing the increase and pay for prosecutors, and in fact, that's exactly what happened in 60 out of 64 of the cases. Nobody was confused.
Yeah, I believe so. In other words, if you look at it, and if I've traced my history right, and if I haven't, I apologize, but the constitutional provision for the Citizens Commission was in 1994, and then the statute tying the prosecutor's salary to the constitutional, the salary of associate circuit judges was in 1997. Now, there's been some amendments, but I don't think any of the amendments substantially affect either statute or either constitutional provision.
Right. So don't we assume that the legislature knew when they did that, that they were giving all the prosecutors a raise? Right. You think maybe there were some prosecutors over there talking to them about it?
I don't know. I don't know what happened. But, I think the presumption is that any time a legislative body enacts legislation that they know what they're doing or know what the law is. And see, that's another point. They didn't say that in their legislation that the compensation will be the same as associate circuit judges and will begin their next term of office. They just said it will be the same. They didn't, and you know, so they didn't say that. And I'm assuming, although I'll be quite honest with you, it was very hard for me to figure out the scheme of this Citizens Commission. In my brief, I said I think that they recommend either increases or decreases every 2 years. And I'm not sure that as a practical matter that's how it works.
Although well, they can recommend them every 2 years and do whether they're put in place. Is
yeah. And so I'm not sure how exactly it works. So if I'm wrong on that point, I apologize. But definitely, it's very, I think it's going to be something that happens quite often. As a matter of fact, I understand from the brief of amicus, which you all did not permit to be filed, that actually there's a recommendation that will that the associate circuit judges' salaries will go into will be increased again on July 1st of either, I don't think it's 12, it may be 13. 13.
It's 12.
And is it 12? Okay, 12. And so this is going to affect, basically this opinion is going to affect what the 63 prosecutors are going to be paid coming July 1st. So that's why it is, I believe, a question of substantial interest within the state.
You're saying, reading them in peri materia, the statutory, the constitutional provisions, they said that the prosecutor's salary compensation would be tied to that of associate circuit judges, knowing that the Compensation Commission meets and recommends salary changes every 2 years.
Well, I
wouldn't want to presume they're aware of the law.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to accuse them of not knowing what the law is. But I'm assuming they knew, and I'm assuming that they knew it could take place midterm. And of course, that goes back, like I say, to Moss. You know, if and I don't know how many lawyers we have in the legislature anymore, and how many of them have read Moss. But you know, if the formula is in place according to Moss. I don't know. But anyway, that's the basis of our argument. That and the other thing I do want to quickly, I'm running out of time. But
well, you have three more. You have more minute. You have more time when you come back.
Okay.
Are there any more questions?
Thank you.
You have another chance to present more of your argument. You may proceed.
May I please record?
Yes.
Judges, today this court has the opportunity to clarify and reaffirm a somewhat contentious point of law and close a potential loophole regarding midterm pay increases. As counsel noted, in the Laclede case, it was established by this court that there is not an absolute bar on midterm pay increases, and it gave three examples. And in the Hawkins case, it was because there are additional duties associated with the job. So if I believe in that case, it was a mayor. And when the mayor was elected, he had certain duties. And then during the course of his term, he had to start filing more and new paperwork. So it didn't offend the Article 7, Section 13. In Dwyer, it was because there was no salary established. So if there's no salary established at the time of the election, then a subsequent increase wouldn't offend Article 7, Section 13. And in Moss, it was the application of a formula when there was a change in the county size.
And why isn't this the application of a formula?
Well, I think the distinction there is there was some extra influence causing this formula to change. And what that was the county, for all intents and purposes, changes the classification in the middle of a term. And presumably, a fourth-class county commission or fourth-class county clerk would have a certain amount of workload, and a third-class county clerk would have...
But it didn't say because of duties. The Moss didn't depend on additional duties. That could have been an approach that was taken, but it wasn't. It was that a formula was set prior to the beginning of the term, so there was no change in compensation because it was set... During the term, because the formulas for one class of county and what their prosecutor was paid was set before the term, and just when the county changed classifications, that was an automatic change because of the nature of the county in which the person was serving. That was very inarticulate, but you know what I'm what I'm saying.
Yes,
why isn't it's a different formula? But why isn't this just a formula? And we've held other times when dealing with pension increases in the city of St. Louis in the Neske case, there was a question of whether or not there was an increase in the pension that was given to the police in the city, and that would have violated Hancock if it was considered an increase in pension because the dollars went up, and we held no, they didn't go up because the formula by which the pensions were determined remained the same. The fact that cost of living and so forth, outside factors, meant the formula required a different number to be paid didn't mean that there was a change for Hancock purposes because the formula was set and established and continued to be applied. Why isn't the statement in the statute that prosecutors are paid associate circuit judge salaries, the formula, and whatever happens to it, that formula is set ahead of time?
Well, I think there are a number of issues. I think one of the important distinctions is, you know, when applying that formula in Moss, there were specific dollar amounts that had been in place prior to the election, and counsel says that they think that the use of the word election was kind of spurious. I know better. This court doesn't just use words interchangeably.
But don't we have to use the Constitution, though, not whatever language? I mean, the Constitution, if the Constitution said election, I would say we have to, of course, go from election, but the Constitution says term in office, and that doesn't start until January 1.
That is correct, but another distinction is at the time, you know, this formula was set. It was the multiplication of the number of voters, et cetera. It had specific, you know, that spits out the number, similar to the valuation of counties for part-time prosecutors. In this case, you know, the election takes place on November 7th, and presumably from November 7th of 2006 until the Citizens Commission submits their report, you would have that limbo area where you have these newly affected officials who, I would hope they wouldn't, but potentially could lobby for an increase in the judge's salary because it will benefit them. Subsequent to the actual submission of that report, it has to go before the General Assembly, who has the opportunity to vote down that increase.
And you make a good argument why the legislature might want to make it from the date of the election, but that's, or why the Constitution, you know, could have made that, but that's not what it did. It says during their term, right?
That is correct. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is, until February after that election, whenever the General Assembly fails to take action to refuse that, it's not actually set.
Well, the dollars may not be actually set, but the formula is set. It's whatever those associate circuit judges are going to be paid.
That is correct. But
your argument is, in fact, they may not be paid that depending on the action of the legislature.
Correct. At the time of the prosecutors taking office on January 1, 2007, their salary was $96,000. There was a recommendation before the General Assembly to increase that on July 1, 2007 to $106,000 and change. And then on
why isn't that like Moss, where until it was 2 years later and the population went up and the county learned that it went up to a higher class county, you didn't know the salary would be increased. But in fact, it turned out it was because the formula, which was in place prior to the term in office, so required. Isn't that just like here?
No, I think the distinction is that, yes, they're to be paid the same, but that actual amount doesn't take place until after the person is already in office, and that would allow MAPA and MOPS to lobby the General Assembly and say, you know, you guys really need to, these judges need a raise, you need to really let this raise through.
Well, are you suggesting they don't do that?
I would never suggest that lobbyists attempt to influence the General Assembly.
I guess what I'm saying is, you know, we have a constitutional provision.
Yes.
And then everybody knows what that is. And then we pass a statute that says our pays, our full-time prosecutors get the same as associate circuit judges. So
yes,
who is really surprised by anything that happens after that?
Well,
I mean, somebody taking office might think, well, I might get a raise, I might not get a raise. The commissioners, if they want to not pay their prosecutors more, they can try to get the judges' raises killed. Or if their commissioners think, you know, their full-time prosecutor deserves a little more raise, they can try to get the judges' pays raised. But
yes,
everybody knows what the deal is. The deal is they get paid the same.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes that discourages what might be thought of as the the two most qualified lawyers in the county from running against each other. And isn't that a valid consideration for the passage of such a statute?
Yes, it would be. I think going back to when Article 7, Section 13 was passed, or whatever it was known as at that time, because I realize there have been changes and the numbers might be different. But it's my belief that the intent there was to prevent elected officials from utilizing their position to try to increase their pay in a way that would undermine the citizens' belief in that position. The judiciary was specifically exempted. And I went into, to a certain extent, that I actually pulled the debates from the Constitutional Convention. And part of that was, you know, your honors have 12-year terms. And I believe Judge Stith has been on the bench in her term since 2002, and I believe Judge Fisher since 2010. It wouldn't make any sense to expect Judge Stith to be making $30,000 or $40,000 less than Judge Fisher merely because, and I don't mean to offend you, sir, merely because she's been on there longer. And so
I thought this, perhaps a seniority raise is what you're going to be talking about.
But judges were specifically excluded. And then you also have issues with the judicial canons where, you know, lawyers are supposed to avoid conflicts, the appearance of conflicts. The judges are supposed to avoid the appearance of impropriety. So the judges, of course, would never try to lobby the commission for raises. And so I think the judges are held to a higher standard, which is why we have that specific exception. The rest of the elected officials at the
municipal commission actually meets by in public, and everything that's submitted to it's public, so you'd kind of know.
Well, I understand you know, but I think it would undermine the robe if the entire Supreme Court went into that commission and said, we need a raise. I think people would start to question the independence of that commission. And that commission is to establish state salaries.
Go ahead.
It's not to establish municipal salaries. It's not to establish county salaries. And the prosecutors are county employees, the judges, all of them, even the associate circuit judges, which are elected at the county level, all of those are state employees. And so that's the distinction between
Are you making arguments that are appropriate to the legislature? I mean, we're applying this constitutional provision that says you shall not increase it during the term in office. And you're making arguments about why, from the day you're elected, there should be a different rule. And that's just not an issue under the Constitution.
Well, I think under the Constitution, it says the term of office. And there are a lot of factors that have to come into place before the term of office starts that you know, the report has to be submitted, the report has to be not disapproved, and, you know, that on January 1, the salary is established. For January 1, 2007, the salary for Ms. George was established at $96,000. There were a lot of factors that had to come into play before the July 1
change. Could a county say, when it was hiring prosecutor, say there weren't this other provision tying it to the judge's salary, but there was the constitutional prohibition against increasing compensation during the term. Prior to the term beginning, could a county say, for your first year in office, we're going to pay you $96,000, and then after you gain a year's experience, we're going to raise it to $103,000, and you set that up ahead of time before the person takes office?
I think that kind of – could they? Possibly. However, prior to this statute being enacted, I believe the prosecutor salaries were established through the county salary commission. And, you know, that's the sheriff, the prosecutor, the commissioners. I'm not going to remember all of them, but it's a number of them. They get together and they establish their salaries. And, you know, it's an open process, and it's to ensure that nobody's, you know, abusing their position for pecuniary gains above and beyond what they're entitled to.
A full-time prosecutor can't even get that on the ballot without the approval of his county commission, can he?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay, so your clients had to, or at least in the sense of the commission, maybe not the actual people involved, but they had to approve of the prosecutor's position even going to full-time.
That is correct.
And did that occur after 1997, when the statute tied it to the associate circuit judge's salary?
I believe Phelps County became a full-time prosecutor prior to the 2006 election. I think it might have been in 2000.
Okay. So if a county commission didn't want to have to worry about judges getting raises, which doesn't happen very often, and then therefore prosecutors getting raises, they just don't put on the ballot to allow their local prosecutors to be full-time employees. And then they don't have to worry about any of this. The local county controls the local county commission controls the compensation.
That's correct. Well, to a certain extent,
under the
yes.
statute.
Under the statute, it would still depend on the
right.
And
any more questions? You have some more time, but you don't have to use it.
I would just ask that this court interpret Article 7, Section 13, based upon its plain language that bars these. And I would point out that, you know, as I said at the beginning, it would close a potential loophole. Arguably, if you got a good enough lobby together, we could start tying literally every single elected official's pay to that of the judges, and it would just take all the teeth out of Article 7, Section 13. So I'd ask that you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Baker, you may proceed.
Just briefly, I guess, and I don't want to seem naive because I've never been involved in politics, but I thought that the purpose of the Citizens Commission was kind of to remove politics and political influence and lobbying from the determination of salaries. And the other thing is that according to the constitutional provision, the way I read it, the Citizens Commission is supposed to take into consideration the duties and responsibilities of each office. Well, that I think kind of meets, that's one reason why you might want to tie your prosecutor's salary to the Associate Circuit Judges, because and rather than tie it to like census or population or presidential elections like they did in Moss, because those things fluctuate or can fluctuate just as often as maybe a Citizens Commission report. So like I say, I don't mean to be naive. I've not ever participated or been present when the Citizens Commission has met, but I had thought that was the reason that they had the Citizens Commission. And I think to tie the prosecutor's salary to the Associate Circuit Judge's salary, you're actually doing the same thing. You're trying to accomplish the same thing that they did when they allowed the Associate Circuit Judge's salary to be tied.
Would you address your opponent's argument that although your client took office on January 1 and the Citizens Compensation Report was approved on December 1, that it was really not a final report until the legislature took action or inaction on it by February the 1st?
Well, you know, I guess this gets into maybe a theoretical argument about, and it may, like I'm used to it more in real estate, like you have vested estates subject to divestment, and you know, I don't know when you consider it. The way it's written, it's effective. That's what the salary is. The legislature has to take affirmative action to disapprove it. So to me, it's vested subject to divestment, kind of like we have in some of our old real estate concepts about when does an estate vest. Now, you know, again, that would be my position. I don't know as I can have anything to cite to you to support that. But the plain language is that, you know, if the legislature never acts, then actually it takes effect. So that would be my argument on that it's vested subject to divestment, but it is vested when the report is filed.
There was something you wanted to address right before you sat down. You had a chance to do something.
I was just going to say that I disagree strongly with the judge when he says that there was no formula in place. Maybe the dollar amount was not in place, but Moss said the dollar amount doesn't have to be in place. And that's, I think you're familiar with that point. So I think that's all I have, unless you have some questions.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the argument from both counsel.
Well argued case.
Well argued.
The case will be taken under submission.